The Morning Brew is brought to you by West Rock Coffee.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep hiking, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers, stat!
Know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet.
Let's get it on.
I talked to his agent, Mark Bartlestein, today with Priority Sports, and he says that they're going to determine that timeline on a return for Porter Jr. after the surgery. There's still scenarios where Michael Porter Jr. could play again this season. Certainly, they're going to be cautious. He has had back issues before. He had surgery prior to his rookie year in the NBA. It's what caused him to drop all the way to Denver.
Woj Bomb, Gene Wojciechowski on, talking about the Michael Porter Jr. back surgery that will sideline him, according to his agent, quote, indefinitely. Michael Porter Jr. is only making about $5 million this year. Next year is when his five-year, $172 million contract kicks in.
Michael Jr. Porter?
Just me, I'll be stunned if we see him this year, because no matter how much the Nuggets' aspirations are to win this year, I think they, at least in the case of Porter, are dwarfed by the fact that we got to protect this investment, which kicks in next year. And if sitting him out all season long, strengthening that back, rehabbing that back to make sure that he's ready to go for next year, in this case, the future investment is more important than whatever you're trying to do this year. Agreed?
100%. Yeah, there's going to be no rush to get him back. And I'm probably rightfully so, but that back is... I don't even know, is it more for the team? Like, is the team not in a hurry? Would you like to hurry him back? And if he fails, then you collect on your insurance policy so you don't have to be out the cash? Or I think at this point, everybody wants to see what this guy could possibly be, potentially be, because of, you know, his extreme athleticism and his height and everything else. So I'm with you. I think they're going to be super cautious. But this is your third back operation, Mike. Back operations. The back is that's a tricky, tricky deal.
So where are we at now in terms of expectations for this season? The idea going in that nobody really seemed to argue with was, hey, this season's going to be contingent not only on Jamal Murray coming back and being 100% for a playoff run.
Right.
But also with the idea that Michael Porter Jr. takes the leap and you have yourself a legitimate big three.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're counting on Jamal Murray coming back 100% from an ACL and hoping that Michael Porter Jr. comes back late in the season? Where are your expectations now? If they were fill in the blank before, what are they now?
I still expect them to be a playoff team, right? But competing for a championship or competing for, you know, a championship game, a championship series, a Western Division Championship Series. No, I don't.
I can't.
I feel like they're one and done type of getting to the playoffs as a seventh seed, sixth seed, whatever, and be bounced.
I think winning a playoff series this year would constitute a huge success. But season began, we were thinking Western Conference Finals at minimum. I just have a hard time seeing them be able to get to that level now. Next on the Morning Brew.
Yeah, it's different for a guy who's never come off the bench. You know, and in Drew's case, you know, we're probably not giving him enough reps during the week, you know, not to make an excuse for him. You know, but he's got to learn to do better at that. And maybe some of that is we need to have a better list of what he feels comfortable at operating with and running and calling. And hopefully he's learned from these two times. Hopefully there won't be another time due to injury and he'll do better the next time.
Should there be a next time? Or are we at the point now where clearly Drew Lock, he's been given two opportunities to step in as a backup, hasn't handled either
Hopefully
one.
Won't be another time.
Hasn't handled either one well. doesn't Brett Rypien seem to fill out the profile of the backup quarterback better than Drew?
Yes. And I wouldn't be surprised if it does happen again, if that's the direction they go. I guess we'll see, right, this weekend, Sunday night, if they decide to activate Brett Rypien.
But you can't have three quarterbacks active. That's dumb. So it's a matter of activating Rypien and deactivating Locke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, but I wouldn't
have all three active.
No, no, I would, but that wouldn't surprise me in the least if they did that. But you know what you can't have? You can't have your backup quarterback thinking he's rolling in and going to take the job.
Right. And that's how I think he approached it. I got to make a play. I got to make a play.
Yeah. I got to do something special. I got to show them that they made the wrong decision. Right. I got to get, you know, this is my chance. Yeah. At some point, you have to do what's best for the team and play, you know, situational football. Understand what's going on. And you can't throw that pick. You can't.
Excellent morning, Brew.
Takes the snap. Plenty of time. Surveying. Looks over the middle. That is thrown into the end zone and is picked off. Kendall Fuller picked it off. And Washington maintains their lead. Now they just need to survive a kickoff.
Mr. Unlimited.
Wolfed Radio. As Washington did escape with a 17-15 win on Monday Night Football. But the story here is we always relate it back to what's going on with the Broncos. The idea that Russell Wilson might be available. All right. Well, since getting hurt in the Rams game on October 7th, he's come back. He's played in three games. All losses. Seattle has scored 0, 13, and 15 points.
So they're trending up is what you're telling me.
Russ is complaining about 55% of his passes. Three games, two touchdowns, two picks. Is Russell Wilson still the quarterback that you should want to go out and get?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No questions asked.
No questions asked.
Three first round picks, done.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, one, you know, the only thing I have is a question about the work ethic because he only rehabbed 19 hours a day. Been and gone 21 hours a day?
Yeah. Slacker.
But they, of course that finger is going to be, that thing is like, you broke a extension tendon in your finger. You had to have surgery to fix it. And it's, you know, I mean, grip on the ball. Is there numbness in the finger? Like, all that stuff is going to matter. It's going to take its toll on you. And then on top of it, boy, I will tell you this, man. You see some of the throwbacks and some of the deep crosses he threw to, Lockett yesterday. Talk about money, but listen, Seattle's not that they have fallen. Their whole team, top to bottom, roster wise, is just falling apart.
So the question is: do they run it back with Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson? Do they consider this an aberration? Do they choose between the two of them? And if so, who do they choose to build around—the coach or the quarterback?
It's much harder to find a quarterback than it is a coach.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Our entire team needs to be executed after tonight.
Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame for LSU. Wow. I guess how the mighty have fallen that I thought Notre Dame was it. The pinnacle. The creme de la creme.
Yeah, you're basically saying you can't win a national championship at Notre Dame. The standards are too high.
Is that what it is? Because I can see Brian Kelly saying, man, I got higher academic standards in most power schools.
Right.
But he also has to be like, man, we're put together an 11-1 season and I'm still staring up at Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So, and I wonder, we'll have Joel Klatt on tomorrow. I'll ask him about this, but I wonder if Notre Dame's lack of
conference
affiliation is really starting to hurt them here.
I think it's part of it. I think the other thing is, I mean, look at when they've been in the playoffs, Mike, in the last few years, when they played in a national championship. I was at the national championship game when they played Alabama and just got absolutely, you know, stomped. So, I think all that hurt. Brian Kelly has a better chance to go into LSU with the recruits they get and instantly become a powerhouse, mm-hmm. instantly compete for a,
SEC championship. But see, Notre Dame lost to Cincinnati. Okay, I get that. But we know that if you're a powerhouse team in the Big Ten or the SEC, you can have one loss and people are looking for an excuse to still get you back into the playoffs.
Right.
Not the case here with Notre Dame anymore, it would appear. And when you have a schedule that's dotted with Toledo, Virginia Tech, Purdue, Navy, yeah. Georgia Tech. You know, you just play in this hodgepodge schedule that, right.
Especially if none of them
doesn't work anymore.
And you can't lose to, hey man, you can't lose to Cincinnati.
So Brian Kelly on his way to LSU, Lincoln Riley to USC. Massive, massive changes in college football. We'll visit with Joel Klatt tomorrow morning at 8.
Real quick, if you get into the, you get into the playoffs, right now, I mean, if Oklahoma were to get into that window and Notre Dame were to get out of that window, they'd be both in the playoff for a national championship without their head coaches?
Correct.
The interim head coach? I should have got into head coaching. You see the money going on and Lord have mercy.
Starting north of $100 million now for these guys.
Hey, I just want you guys to know I'm available.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning.
Notre Dame, if you're 6:30. Listening.
Notre Dame, Stinks available.
I'm available.
He'd be the Rudy of coaches.
That's right. We're going to go hard. We're going to win. Mike, stay low. We're going to keep our knees bad.
Mike Kliss joins us next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.